for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, November the 30th, 1996. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron is the minister of the evening.
Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Sing it with me now. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Oh, sing his name. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. It's the name that brings deliverance. It's the name that brings healing. It's the name that brings peace. Hallelujah. It's the name that brings comfort. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God. And yet He's a Son of Man. Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Strength and hope. Grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Sing it now. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your holy name, Lord. We bless your holy name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Oh, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Oh, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan, he's under my feet. Oh, hallelujah. This is an action song. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Yes, I took back what he stole from me. Oh, yeah. Took back what he stole from me. Oh, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Oh, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan, he's under my feet. One more time. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan, he's under my feet. Oh, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink of the new wine. I'm yielding my will, drinking my fill from the true vine. But I want to be, for I want to be totally free of everything that would hinder me. So I'm having a drink of the wine of the Holy Ghost. Take a drink now. Oh, I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink of the new wine. I'm yielding my will. I'm drinking my fill from the true vine. For I want to be, for I want to be totally free of everything that would hinder me. So I'm having a drink of the wine of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink of the new wine. I'm yielding my will. I'm drinking my fill from the true vine. For I want to be totally free of everything that would hinder me. So I'm having a drink of the wine of the Holy Ghost. You know what I found out? Those that need it the most fight it the most. Are you listening to me? One of the ways to keep your deliverance is to keep drinking the wine of the Holy Ghost. Wine in, fear out. Wine in, depression out. Hallelujah. Wine in, worry out. Can I hear an amen? And I'll tell you this, I meet some people and you know, you just know they need it the most. They need the wine the most. Wine to make a heart glad. They're the saddest people you've ever met. Have you ever met a depressed person who was happy? And some people just don't believe, of course, they don't believe that the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit left with the apostolage. Now some people say, this is not for today, this is so wrong. While others, they boast, this Holy Ghost, he is long gone. But we're here to prove God is still on the move in our generation and time. For we have been having a drink of fresh Holy Ghost wine. Take a drink now. Oh, I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink of the new wine. I'm yielding my will. I'm drinking my fill from the true vine. For I want to be, for I want to be totally free of everything that would hinder me. So I'm having a drink of the wine of the Holy Ghost. One more time. Oh, I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink of the new wine. I'm yielding my will. I'm yielding my will. I'm drinking my fill from the true vine. For I want to be totally free of everything that would hinder me. So I'm having a drink of the wine of the Holy Ghost. How many has been having a drink for a long time now? Now this is a song for you. This new wine that I'm drinking has turned my whole life around. This new wine that I'm drinking, it's the best that can ever be found. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it, the joy of the Lord in my soul. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I'm under the Spirit's control. Oh, this new wine that I'm drinking has turned my whole life around. This new wine that I'm drinking, it's the best that can ever be found. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it, the joy of the Lord in my soul. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I'm under the Spirit's control. How many want to be under the Spirit's control? This new wine that I'm drinking has turned my whole life around. Turned my ministry around. This new wine that I'm drinking is the best that can ever be found. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it. You've got to yield in order to feel. Now, I was sitting this afternoon when Doc Noel was talking, and you know, I just saw, as we're praying for people, you know, some people just weren't yielding at all. You don't yield, you'll go out of here not delivered. You've got to yield to be delivered. You've got to yield to be free. You've got to yield to receive anything from the Holy Ghost. You've got to yield. You've got to give up your agenda and get the agenda of the Holy Ghost. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it. The joy of the Lord in my soul. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I used to have stinking thinking. But I'll tell you, you get the mind of Christ in you. Amen. Glenn was talking about the mark this morning. The mark of the beast. Never mind the mark of the beast. We need to get on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I'm under the Spirit's control. Oh, this new wine that I'm drinking has turned my whole life around. This new wine that I'm drinking, it's the best that can ever be found. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it, the joy of the Lord in my soul. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I'm under the Spirit's control. One more time. Oh, this new wine that I'm drinking has turned my whole life around. This new wine that I'm drinking, it's the best that can ever be found. Now that I've yielded, I really can feel it, the joy of the Lord in my soul. This new wine I'm drinking has transformed my thinking. I'm under the Spirit's control. Oh, I'm under the Spirit's control. Yes, I'm under the Spirit's control. Oh, yes, I am. Hallelujah. Praise Him tonight. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can.
The wine festival. It's called Federweiss. White feather. And they celebrate the new wine, you know. And a German lady was telling me that the new wine is sweet. It's not so bitter as mature wine. But it's a subtle thing, because it's so sweet you drink more of it. And it's more potent. Are you hearing me tonight? This new wine is sweet. You don't have to... I mean, this is sweet wine. I was praying for people the other night, and they're standing... And I said, hey, the Holy Ghost wants to fill you, not kill you. You know? This new wine is sweet, folks. This new wine is sweet. But don't let the sweetness fool you. This new wine is potent. I mean potent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not a long-winded preacher like some of these guys, so... Because when you hear a preacher say that, pay no attention. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you a funny story while you're turning up your pages. It's page 792. This old couple gets stopped for speeding. The husband and wife get stopped for speeding. So the trooper looked in the car window and he said to the husband, he says, you were going a little bit fast there, sir. Oh, no, he said, I wasn't. I was driving. And his wife said, yes, you were. You always speed. He says, be quiet, woman. And the little officer looked. He said, and I see you don't have your seatbelt on. Oh, he said, I just took it off to get it in my wallet. His wife said, no, you don't. You never use a seatbelt. He looks at her and says, be quiet, woman. Hush up. The trooper looked at him and looked at her. She says, does he always talk to you like that? She says, no, only when he's drunk. That's some woman. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, there comes a time you need to shoot at the head and move on. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy laughter, eh? You know, even the world knows that. Laughter is the best medicine. Reader's Digest, one of the greatest magazines, one of the biggest circulated magazines in the world, Reader's Digest, has two or three pages every month, the laughter is the best medicine. And they have now humor and uniform. And then they've got another one now. Another one about humor. Because why? Because there's something contagious. There's a contagion about humor. Hallelujah. And it seems like the church, it should have the humor. The church, it should have the laughter and the freedom of the Holy Ghost. We're all tied up. How many remember Houdini? Not personally, but... Maybe some of you do remember Houdini first. Houdini was the great escape artist, escapist. And you remember his favorite line? This is his favorite line. And I just read this, by the way. I never met him. Don't let the beard fool you. It puts 10 years on me. This is Houdini's favorite line. Who'll tie me up? Who'll tie me up? Because you wanted people to tie him up so you can escape. I'm going to tell you something. That's the church's favorite line. Who'll tie me up? We get set free in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has tremendous work in us. And about 2 or 3 weeks down the line, we're looking for some other law or some other regulation to tie because we can't handle the freedom. We're warriors. We like to be in an institution. Well, marriage is an institution, isn't it? I mean, we love institutions. We just can't handle freedom. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, tonight. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So we need to get out of that stinking thinking of who'll tie me up. Come on now. Am I telling the truth or am I not? I've been brought up in church and I've said who'll tie me up for years. We need to get rid of that thinking who'll tie me up and begin to flow in the river of God in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And let God use us to release others from that kind of attitude and mentality. Praise God. Listen, we're going to speak a little bit on the anointing tonight. On the anointing. Isaiah 61. I'll be reading from the NIV. Some people like to read out the Amplified because it's louder. I like to read out to the NIV because it's infallible. Oh, no, it's international. Excuse me. Just seeing if you're listening there. Oh, no, I'm going to tell you something. You do the drinking, I'll do the speaking. Is that all right? I could tell with some of the faces, you need a good drink, Sammy. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get released in the Spirit, all the truth, the wonderful truth you've had this week, you'll do nothing with them. We need to have the release of the Spirit to release us to do what we've been taught to do or what we're reading to do. Amen? Otherwise, it's just another teaching that you take a few notes and you keep them for a month or two and then you throw them in the garbage a month later and you're none the wiser and you're none the better. But it's the Holy Spirit that quickens. It's the Holy Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we need that anointing tonight. Amen? Amen? Listen to what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. My, what a bargain. Hey, can I hear an amen? What a deal. You talk about let's make a deal. Listen to this. I'll just read that again. To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I'm for that deal, Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm a taker. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. The Lord has, pardon me, blessed the reading of His word. The anointing. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord, for He has anointed me. And God wants to baptize us, folks, in the Holy Ghost anointing.
Yes.
I maybe shared this with you last year, but a lot of you weren't here last year, so I'm going to share this little story again. God wants to baptize us in the Holy Ghost so that we can have that anointing. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, there's two words for being baptized. There's one word called bapto. It means to be dipped. Now, therein lies a problem, because some of us, all we are is dipped. You know, we come around a conference, we go to all the different conferences, and we get a little dip, you know. Back again to normal. Out we go. We kind of dip in and dip out. You heard about the sipping saints. They're the dipping saints. And we dip in, we dip out. But there's another word for being baptized. It's baptizo. And that word means to be fully submerged. Fully immersed. Can I hear an amen? You know why that's more important? Because we have to be fully immersed and get the head under the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to get our head out of the way. Can I hear an amen? Because our head, so many times our head is the part, these five senses, our head is the part that causes all the problems. I reckon we should have a head rack just out there beside the coat rack. And we should come in, cut the heads off, face the wall, and bring in our hearts to the Lord. Because God wants to minister to our hearts, and so many times our head gets in the way. We hear something we don't like. We see something we don't agree with, and usually we say something we shouldn't. And we quench the Spirit, and we grieve the Spirit. And so what happens? We walk out unchanged and untouched and said, well, I didn't get anything out of that service tonight. Well, guess whose fault that was? Because the Holy Ghost is here. The presence of the Lord is here. And I'll tell you, folks, it's up to you and it's our attitude. And God wants us to be fully immersed, fully submersed, nothing left out. See, that was Moses' problem. When he buried the Egyptian, he must have left a toe sticking out the sand. Because the next day, the people said, hey, we saw what you did. We saw you killing that guy, and we saw, you know. And he had to flee out to Egypt. And it took him 40 years to get back to where he was. We must decrease that he might increase. And there's a picture behind that word baptizo. It's taking a cucumber, putting it in a jar of brine, screwing the lid on, and keeping it in that jar for weeks until the brine totally saturates that cucumber. And in the process of saturation, the cucumber... I'm laughing because I know the end of the story, see? The cucumber, and Mildred does too, the cucumber changes his personality and becomes a pickle. God wants to pickle us. Norman, you listen to me? God wants to pickle you. God wants to pickle us. Now, listen, I didn't say tickle. God wants to pickle. Some of us, all we've had is a tickle. God wants to pickle us. God wants to set us free, hallelujah. God wants to totally inundate us and change the personality, take us out of our inferiority and our fears and our bondages and our chains, and set us wonderfully free and make us and completely change us. He changed Peter and John, didn't he? They were ignorant fishermen. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, and they're standing in front of the Sanhedrin, which was the most educated court in that time, who was the most powerful, influential place in that time. And they were standing there talking to them, and the Bible said, and they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John. Yes. Listen, it wasn't only the boldness, it was the way they were speaking and holding ground. Hallelujah. Yes. They weren't losing ground to those clever guys. Amen? So we need to be pickled. God wants to pickle us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost wants to pickle us. I believe those in Acts chapter 2 were pickled. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples got pickled. That's why Peter had to stand up and say, now these men are not drunk as you suppose. Now why would they suppose? Why would they suppose? No, I'll do the preaching here tonight. I was only teasing, brother. My father said to me when I was a young boy, which wasn't that long ago. Oh. Hush up, woman. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Now I'm going to tell you something. The disciples, they looked drunk. They sounded drunk. They acted drunk. They were drunk. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know why I know? Because I've been drunk myself. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of us and begins to position himself in us and begins to fill us with a new wine, why does people fall down? Why do people fall down? Because they can't stand up. I was in a church. I've only been speechless. Listen, my wife will agree with me. I've only been speechless twice in my life. Just checking here. And I was up in Bangor, Maine in October. It's the wrong time of year to be up there, by the way. You need to be up there in May and June and July. I was up there in October on a Tuesday night in this church. There were over 300 people in the church. And we got to sing and we got to praise the Lord. We got to sing about, I'm having a drink of the new wine. And the people, and I was saying to people, come on, I'll take a drink. And I was going like this, take a drink and enter in. And you know, they started getting drunk. And unbeknownst to me, I started getting drunk myself. I mean, you know, sometimes you can start getting tipsy and you really don't. You ever had a drunk person, go, well, I'm not drunk. You know? And Sometimes you're getting drunk and you don't know it. You know what I mean, Doc? So anyway, I managed to sit down. I did my singing stint, and I sat down. It took about an hour to do that singing. And I sat down, and the pastor was going to take up the offering, a love offering, and then I was going to go out and preach. So the pastor gets up, and he staggers to the pulpit, and he can hardly talk. He's hardly getting the words up, thinking, my God, my offering will be ruined if he doesn't say something shortly. That's a carnal man, you see. So he can hardly talk, and he managed to get... And I'm sitting there now. Listen, I'm sitting there half-sozzled, half-pickled. Not even knowing it. I'm thinking, that's funny, look, him not talking. Little did I know. So he said, okay, it's yours. So I went up to the pulpit, and I'll just say the truth, I just couldn't talk. My wife would have been proud of me. Only once, twice more in my life, I couldn't talk. Number one, the first time was about 4 years ago, I had a nodule cut off my vocal cord, and I couldn't talk for a week. And my wife said to me, well, honey, that'll be great, because I won't have to listen to you for a week. However, by the end of the week, she was climbing the walls, because I'll tell you why. I had a little bell. You better believe it. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Soup. The other time was, I was at a conference in Phoenix, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And anyway, back to this one. So, I get up, and I'm getting ready to preach, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get a word out. So I'm looking at people, and I reckon I have a glazed kind of a look, you know. And I just looked at them for a few minutes, and I couldn't get a word out. I thought, that's all I did. And 300 people came out. And I'll tell you, folks, I laid hands on 300 people without opening my mouth. And they were all over the floor. Pentecostal roadkill. They were everywhere. And I still didn't open my mouth. I was an hour after the service before I got to talking again. That's the anointing. I'm going to tell you, so I don't care what other people say. Nobody will change my mind on that. Nobody will change my mind on that. I knew it was God. Oh. He's meddling again.
Praise the Lord. Kuramos Indilian Robosati. Nobody one hand to work with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God, I'll tell you, folks, we need. What's our enemy? The world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need a vacation from ourselves. We need a vacation from ourselves. A friend of mine was in his church one night, in a big church up beside Boston, and the Holy Ghost fell, and people started to laugh, and he started laughing. He didn't want to laugh. I mean, he was the pastor, you know. He was a full-time help man, hallelujah. And he laughed so much, he had to go to the boys' room. So, he's washing his hands and he's looking in the mirror and he's laughing. The tears are coming down his face. And he said, Lord, what are you doing to my service? And the Holy Spirit supported him and said, you're taking yourself too seriously. And isn't that the case? We take ourselves too seriously. Take a drink tonight. Hallelujah. Take a drink. The Holy Ghost wants, that's right. Who'll tie me up? Holy Ghost wants to set us free. Hallelujah. I was praying one night, and I was praying this good Pentecostal prayer, you know, as us preachers do. And I was saying, Lord, more of you and less of me. The Holy Ghost stopped me right in my tracks, Mildred. And he said, no, none of you and all of me. Isn't that the truth? That little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit said to me, that little bit of you has caused more problems than you can handle. And how many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. Because the truth will set you free. So there's something about anointing. We need that anointing in our lives. We need that anointing in our ministry. Otherwise, there's going to be cheap words. Because talk's cheap. That's what David said to Goliath when he went down there. He said, hey, talk's cheap, Philly. He stood there for 40 days. Goliath stood for 40 days and had the children of Israel paralyzed for 40 days. And all he did was threaten them. All he did was talk. Well, if you come, if you can get one of your men to come out and fight with me and he beats me, we'll serve you. But if I beat, and he's 9 feet tall, but if I beat you, and for 40 days they're at a standstill just with mere threats. And how many times you and I have been in a standstill because of talk, cheap talk, until the Holy Ghost begins to rise. And that inner man begins to rise up inside and say, hey, just a minute, talk is cheap. I come unto you with not in my own strength, but I come unto you as a warrior of the captain of the host. Hallelujah. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Hallelujah. This is a prophetic scripture in Isaiah 61 talking about Jesus. It's the same script that Jesus read in Luke chapter 4 when he went into the temple and they opened the scroll and began to read it. And the Bible says he read it with such authority and such power that when he sat down, all eyes were upon him, were fastened on him. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when the anointing gets in your life, people will begin to watch you. People will be fascinated. People will be fixed to see what you're doing. Can I hear an amen? Why? Because you'll be pickled. You'll be pickled. That's why when we're praying for the cloths today, weren't we? We're praying for the prayer cloths. When people took the cloths and the garments to Paul and he prayed over them and they sent them back and the people were healed and raised from the dead. Why was that? I'll tell you why. Because he was pickled. He was pickled. I hate pickles. That's the only thing I don't like, as you can tell. I hate pickles. I don't even like the smell of pickles. Pickle smell. And I've gone to people's homes to have dinner, and you know, I'll be sitting down there, and sure enough, right in my place, there's a little bowl of pickles. And I'll slip them, you know, if nobody's looking, I'll slip them over to the other end of the table so nobody sees me. Because I don't even like the smell of them. You go to a restaurant, I'll sit the girl, I'll take a sandwich, and, you know, cut the pickle. Do they pay attention to you? No. It comes back and the pickle's on the side, but they don't realize that the pickle touches your sandwich and tastes your bread. Let me tell you something tonight. When you're pickled, people will smell you a mile away. Can I hear an amen? People will smell you a mile away. Remember when the priest would go into the temple to minister? The apothecary made a special incense for the priests. And they would go in there and minister before the Lord. And when they came out, they smelled like Jesus. Are you hearing me? They smelled. And people could say, they've been with the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, when you're pickled, people will say to you, they've been in the presence of the Lord. People just know you. There's just something about you. People will know. You'll sit in there. I mean, I've got people that I've met. I just sat down beside them. They know something different about you. Because you emanate the presence of the Lord. You smell like Jesus. Can I hear an amen? It's interesting, isn't it? Isaiah, the first verse here, the Godhead is mentioned. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Prophetically speaking about Jesus. We have the Trinity right there. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because we need the headship. Can I hear an amen? For the anointing. Messiah in the Old Testament meant the anointed one. Messiah. In the New Testament, Christ, Chrio, it meant the anointed one. The anointed one. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, the anointing is for the church. Can I hear an amen? When Samuel was getting ready to be king, when Saul was getting ready to be king, the children of Israel wanted to be like all the rest of the nations. They wanted a king. It was to their sadness that they got a king. But they wanted a king. We want a king. We want to be like the rest. I'm going to tell you something. When Lake Hamilton Bible Camp becomes like the rest, it'll just fizzle out. That's why there's something different going on here. We don't want to be like the rest. Can I hear an amen? We want the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow. So we're different. People are set free. People are liberated. People get the joy of the Lord. And they anoint Saul. And then in 1 Samuel 16, when after Saul's gone, and Samuel's grieving for Saul, God comes and says to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? How long? 2 years you mourn for Saul. 2 years mourning. And God said, how long are you going to mourn for him? Just stop your crying. Stop your weeping. Fill your horn with oil and get down to the house of Jesse because I have found me a king. Every king is anointed. Every king in the United Kingdom, every king and queen of Britain, that's the very words they use. I anoint thee king or I anoint thee queen. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, we need that anointing. We need that anointing. Now listen, the anointing is for the church. How do I know that? Because if our head If God deemed it necessary to anoint Jesus, the head of the church, he certainly deems it necessary for you and I to have the anointing tonight. How many realize Jesus is the head of the church? Ephesians 1 and 22. And God has made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So if God deemed it necessary for the head to be anointed, he certainly deems it necessary for you and I to have the anointing. The anointing, you know, that's the difference between a dead religion and a live church. The anointing. We need that anointing. We have that anointing. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that anointing. People say, well, I don't have much power. But the trouble is we get the power, we get the dunamis, but then we cover it up with this and that and the other. And, you know, we just put this on it and put regulations on it, put laws on it, put that on it, put religious things on it, put all these trappings, and we cover up the anointing. Just like Noah covered the ark with the vines. We cover that anointing and we wonder someday, we waking up someday like Samuel and we wist not that the anointing is not there. We can't find it. But the anointing is there because the Bible says the anointing abides in you. So it doesn't matter how you feel or how you, if you're up or you're down or you're in or you're out. The truth is that anointing is that in, that Holy Ghost investment is in us. We need to let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Can I hear an amen? We need that anointing. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul went down to Ephesus, they were saved, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And some people say, well, you get the Holy Ghost when you're saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. Paul says, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, we've never even heard of such a thing, such a person. And the Bible says he laid and they received the Holy Ghost. We need that anointing. Can I hear an amen? Now, we have that anointing. We need that anointing, but we have it for a purpose. No, that's what I hear. People say, well, you know, we'll get a good dose of the Holy Ghost and we'll laugh and we'll cry and we'll roll and we'll shout and we'll twitch and jerk and all. But, you know, that's fine. And I'm all for that. But in manifestation, with a manifestation, there must come transformation. And out of a transformation, there has to come fruit. Can I hear an amen? Say with me tonight, manifestation. Transformation. Fruit. There has to come fruit. There has to come a transformation. And there's a reason for the anointing. There's a reason for the anointing, and it's found here in Isaiah 61. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to. To what? To do. Hallelujah. Listen what it says. The anointing is upon me, for the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now that maybe doesn't seem like much to you, but there's a The Holy Spirit is getting a dig in to the Pharisees here. You see, during the time in the temple, when Jesus read this in Luke chapter 4, the Jews controlled the temple, and the poor people and the lame and the maimed were not allowed in the temple. They had to go to the outer court. Number one, the high priest had all the concession stands in the temple court. And he sold the doves for about 10 times the price that you could buy doves outside. So poor people couldn't get in. Because, you know, you couldn't buy a dove outside because they had all their doves marked. And if you came in with the cheap dove that you bought, they wouldn't accept it for the sacrifice. So poor people couldn't get into sacrifice. Poor people couldn't get a feel. That's why Jesus came into the temple and he overthrew the money changers. And he says, you've made this a house, a den of robbers. This place will be a house of prayer for all the nations. And so Jesus, when they were repeating this, and prophetically, he said, never mind, I'll tell you something about the anointing. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter how good looking you are. If you're hungry, you're going to get it. If you're thirsty, you're going to get it. Can I hear an amen? It doesn't matter if you're Arkansas or West Virginia. If you're hungry, you're going to get it. Hallelujah. Because that's one thing about Jesus. He's open to everybody. This is not a Masonic lodge. Can I hear an amen? It's not a country club. I'll tell you, folks, Jesus, when he did anything, he did it in the open. He did it so everybody can see it. Can I hear an amen? The anointing is for the church. Listen, the anointing is for the poor. Let's read on then. To preach good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Another thing you need to know about the anointing heals. Say with me, the anointing heals. Say it again. The anointing heals. The anointing heals. I sing a song, and Bill was just bringing it up to me the other day. The anointing will break every bondage. The anointing will set the spirit free. The anointing will heal and deliver. Let the anointing flow through me. Listen, folks, the anointing heals. Can I hear an amen? My wife ruptured a disc 6 years ago doing something, and it was on her birthday, actually, the 2nd of January. And 2 years ago, we're walking through BJ's Wholesale in Virginia Beach, which is like a Sam's Club. And she, her back was so sore, her leg was dragging, and her face was white. And she said to me, honey, she says, I'll have to go to the doctor tonight. I can't stand the pain. And we're going up one of these aisles, and it's aisle, in fact, I remember that, it's aisle 11. And in amongst the vegetables, and around the corner come my mother and father. I didn't even know they were in BJ's. And around they come, and my mother says to my wife, what's wrong with you? You're awful white looking. And her face was white with pain. And Margaret told them, she says, I'll tell you, well, let's join hands here in this island. Let's pray for you. So we joined hands together, and we began to pray, and began to cast the spirit of infirmity out. And then they left and went away to do their shopping. And we were walking around BJ's, and 20 minutes later, we were walking out of BJ's, and Margaret said to me, you know, Robert, the pain's gone. So I said, that's fine, I'll go back and tell my dad. But, you know, Scottish people are very canny. They're very careful. You know, we don't like to shout big things until we're sure. She says, no, just hold on, I'll tell you. Just let me give me the afternoon to check it out. who'll tie me up? She called me 2 hours later from our work. She says, Robert, the pain's gone. I'm healed. And listen, that's 2 years. There's something about the anointing. Do you know this? The anointing's in BJ's. Do you know the anointing's down in that mall there when you're there? When you walk that mall, that anointing's right with you. Hallelujah. When you're driving that car, the anointing's right with you. Can I hear an amen? The anointing heals. I was up in Dallas, Fort Worth, and ministering for my cousin. And I got in there on a Saturday afternoon, and one of his elders comes in. And this guy's like 35 years old, built like a horse, you know, strong. He does something like physical education. And he comes in like this, all crippled up. His name's Charlie. I said, hey, what's wrong with you? Oh, he says, I've ruptured 3 discs in my back. He says, I've been like this for months. And to tell you the truth, I'm just depressed. He says, well, sit down. So he sits down beside the fireplace. The fireplace about 2 feet off. And he's sitting there to get a bit of relief. And I started to tell him about my wife getting healed. And if you ever started to tell people, and the Holy Ghost begins to brood over that room you're standing in, and it feels like the back of your hair is beginning to stand with the presence of the Lord. And as I began to tell him, I just felt faith begin to rise. Now, and I said, listen, my dad was there too. I said, listen, Charlie, let's pray for you. So he came up and we prayed for him, and I felt the power of God going through him, and he sat back again and said nothing. Went away, but an hour later, who's the first person that come meet us on Sunday morning? He said, look. He says, let me tell you what happened. He says, when you prayed for me yesterday, he says, I sat back at the fireplace and I felt 3 pops in my back. I didn't like to say anything. How dumb can you be and still breathe? He says, I didn't like to say anything, but he says, I went home last night, I slept like a baby the first time in months, and God has healed me. Now, he got up and testified, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. He got up and testified, and hallelujah. There's healing in the anointing. There's healing in the anointing. Listen, not only physical healing, the psychological healing. I prayed for a woman. She was hurt and she was broken. And she was telling me about her father and abused her when she was young. And her father lived in California. She lives in Virginia Beach. And she's, this is a married woman now. This is a married woman. I mean, you know, about 40 years old. And she's telling me all about her father. Never liked her. Never told her he loved her. Never, in 21 years. He hadn't called her in 10 years. Hadn't even called her. She called him and she would always have to initiate the call and he'd never tell her he loved her. We prayed for her that Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost fell, Glenn. And she went home that afternoon. She comes running back to the service that night. She says, guess what? You're not going to believe this, as I will. She said, who do you think called me this afternoon? He said, my father. She said, my father called me. And she said, that's the first time he's ever called her. And he talked, and he talked, and he talked, and he talked, and he talked. And when it was time to close, he says, and I love you, Lynn. Can God make a way in the wilderness? God can do anything. He can make the wilderness a way. Hallelujah. Listen, our father came to visit her 2-3 months ago. Our father sent her a check for $10,000. Never given her a bean all her life. Never given her a dime. The Holy, and he's not even saved yet. But how many of the hound of heaven's got a hook in his jaw? When the hound of heaven gets a hook in your jaw, honey, you're done for. He just begins to reel you in. Hallelujah. The anointing heals. Doesn't heal the sick. I was in a meeting one night in CBN, and I saw a quadriplegic come off a wheelchair and ran around the building. An 18-year-old boy with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need anointing. That's why we need... We don't want anointing just for goosebumps. Are you hearing me? We want anointing. I'll tell you why we need anointing. Because that's why this camp is in business. Because a touch of the anointing, somebody had a vision, Glenn had a vision, and man and woman go behind them with a vision and got anointing, got the anointing of the Holy Ghost filling the place, so people come down and get set free. You try and pray for a demon if you're not anointed. Like the seven sons of Sceva. You'll get more than you bargained for. We need that anointing, Jim. Hallelujah. We need that anointing. The anointing heals. Let's read on. I won't be long now. But I have, Jim, I have there Bill Smith having three different closings. I'll only have one closing. Listen. Here, Sammy, bind up the brokenhearted to proclaim freedom for the captives, spiritual and physical. Amen? Amen. How many are glad you're free? How many want to be even more free? I'll tell you what, we're going to be. We're on our way. And release from darkness for the prisoners. Release. There's freedom. The anointing sets free. The anointing is for the church. The anointing is for the poor. The anointing brings healing. The anointing sets free. Oh, hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or one translation says, there is freedom. 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 The anointing sets free. I was in a church in Mississippi, a Pentecostal holiness church. And I looked at the church. Everybody's over 60. I felt sorry for the youth pastor. I thought that was a good one. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I don't know, but yeah, I'm enjoying this. I just love Jesus. I love talking about Jesus. I love sharing about Jesus. I love encouraging people. That's my ministry, just an encourager. We're in this church, they're all over 60, and the Holy Ghost fell. The first one to go down was the pastor. He's on the floor most of the service. He cheated on us, hallelujah. But I had to close the service. He was still on the floor. And anyway, at the end of the service, after I shared and sang and preached, I asked him, I said, look, if you want to touch the Holy Ghost, come on down. They all came down. All these older people came down. Notice I didn't say old people, I said older people. And they all came down. And began to pray for them, and the Holy Ghost began to knock them down like tenpins. You know, bang, 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 bang. And one lady, I pray for her, beautiful 65-year-old woman and with gray hair like Bill there. And down she went. And she started to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. That's the manifestation. Here's the transformation. After the service, the lady comes to me and says, I hope I didn't interrupt you. I hope I didn't spoil your prayer time. I'm going to tell you, laughter will never spoil my preaching. Laughter will never spoil my prayer time. Or, you know, I'll tell you what spoils me. I had a woman come to me not too long ago. You know what she said? Where's all this joy going to take us? Where's all this joy going to take us? The first thought came into my mind is, imagine being married to that woman. And I said, that's funny. I never had anybody come and say before the Holy Ghost hit us, where's all the complaining going to take us? Where's all the backbiting going to take us? Where's all the scandal going to take us? Where's all the gossip going to take us? I never heard anybody say that. But somehow or other, the Holy Ghost falls and the old flesh doesn't like the Holy Ghost, you know. My. The flesh doesn't like the Holy Spirit. You might as well understand that tonight. The flesh, the Bible says, is always at enmity with the Spirit. It's always at loggerheads with the Spirit. So your flesh doesn't want you to enjoy the Lord. The flesh doesn't want you to have a party. The flesh wants you to sit there like a bump in a log, singing, I shall not be. Where's all this joy going to take us? This woman said to me, she says, no, listen to our story. She said, I hope I didn't interrupt your prayer time. She said, but I'll tell you what happened to me. She said, I was filled with the Holy Ghost 35 years ago. And she says, I laughed for 2 days. And the second day, the devil said to me, don't be so stupid. Don't be so silly. And she says, I've never laughed since. I'm going to tell you, folks, the devil's a thief. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. He's a robber. Don't let the enemy steal from you. You listening? I'm thinking she got a release tonight. The first thing is we get released. Oh, tie me up. Old fleshy, don't be so stupid. You can't laugh like that. I'll tell you, that woman was totally set free. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the anointing will set you free from the fear of the past, the guilt of the past, and the fear of tomorrow. The Holy Ghost wants to set you free. He's paid the price. So why shouldn't we be free? He's already paid the price. It's like somebody saying, well, here's your pardon. And you're saying, well, I'm not coming out of jail. I'm going to stay right in here. Because I can't trust that pardon. God wants to set you free, folks. The anointing sets you free. Listen, let's carry on here. Well, not carry on. Yeah, let's... Oh, Lord. Listen. Where was I now? Full time me up. Back to the notes. Praise the Lord. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. The anointing transforms. The anointing transforms. This transforms us out of our prison cell and sets us free into a new, wonderful world of the Holy Ghost. Remember when Samuel met Saul, he said to him in 1 Samuel 10, I'll tell you what to do. Go up to Gibeah. And as you go up there, you're going to meet the school of the prophets. And you're going to join them. And the Lord's going to anoint you. And you're going to be changed into a new man. Listen, God wants it. The anointing changes us. The anointing transforms us. He takes us from where we used to be and transforms us and makes us what He wants us to be. Hallelujah. The anointing transforms. The anointing transforms. I pray for this young girl that was 16 years old. Her mother was, and I heard this after the fact. I pray for this girl that the Holy Ghost hit her. The last I saw her that night was getting carried out of the car drunk between two friends, her mother and somebody else taking her out of the car. Let me tell you something. I'd love to see my kids drunk like that. I was 13 when the Holy Ghost hit me. I was 13 years old in school. I was a preacher's kid, and I was one of those kids. I was just getting ready to teeter on the wall, you know, to get over to see that the grass was greener on the other side. And many times we have that concept, the grass is greener on the other side. But how many know the cow dung smells just the same? And I was just in that position and just, you know, trying to see, thinking it's better out there. Because I've been in church all my life. I wanted something different. Mind you, if you've been in the church I was in, you probably wanted something different too. But that was before the Holy Ghost fell. And that night the Holy Ghost fell. Now listen, we've never been to any Catherine Coleman meetings, any Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn wasn't even on the go then. Any of these meetings, we were a little one horse down in the north of Scotland. Never been in the States. It's a way back. I was 13. That's 2 or 3 years ago. Nothing upsets me now. Hello. And the Holy Ghost, I was standing right about here, and the Holy Ghost hit me, and I fell on the floor, Mildred. And I began to laugh and began to cry at the same time, and I began to speak in tongues for the first time. The anointing transforms. And I was never the same again. I'll tell you what happened. I got off the floor, and the first thing I started doing was I started writing songs. And as Paul Harvey says, you know the rest of the story. I'm still writing songs. You know, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. I'm going to beat him. Hallelujah. I'm going to beat him. That's the last thing I do. Hallelujah. I was up in Maine in May. I won't be long now. I was up in Maine and preaching to the presbytery, the Assemblies of God churches up there. I was preaching to the preachers. And the guy took me up there because I'd been there the year before, and the Holy Ghost had hit his church and never been the same again. And I was in this church, and it's one of those old churches. You know, Maine's an old state, and there's people have been in that church for 60 years. And I'm starting with the size of this tonight, and I started to pray for the people, and the older people started coming out and started praying for them. They're falling down, and I was walking down the aisles, and there were bodies everywhere. And at the back, there was about a dozen young people, and they're sitting laughing and carrying on, you know. I thought, well, I might as well lay hands on them too, you know, for good measure. So I just walks up, and I began to, you know, began to lay hands upon them, and boy, the Holy Ghost hit these young people, Doc. And I mean, they started to fall on the floor, and the pastor's with me, and he starts getting excited. He says, hey, see that girl there on the floor? I said, yeah. She says, that's not one of mine. That's a Baptist girl. She's only here visiting. And he says, she's only here visiting tonight. She says, she's speaking in tongues. Look at her. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Those kids were on the floor for 2 hours. We left the service, went upstairs to get something to eat. His spiritual giants came down. They were still on the floor. Transformed. The anointing transforms. The anointing transforms. Very quickly. The anointing transforms. The anointing comforts. To comfort all who mourn. The anointing, listen, the Holy Ghost is the comforter. Can I hear an amen? It comforts. I'm going to rush on here for sake of time. The anointing comforts. The anointing transfers, verse 3, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. It takes the worthless, listen to the transformation, it takes the worthless and makes us priceless. Hallelujah. The anointing transfers. I was in a conference not too long ago, talking about the Holy Spirit, and I came out of the meeting that night about 11 o'clock, and I was very disappointed. You know why? Because they hadn't prayed for anybody. They hadn't laid hands on anybody. They talked about it. I thought to myself, well, why don't you transfer something to us? Why don't you impart something to us? How many know you can impart the anointing? Romans, in Romans 1, Paul says to Romans in Romans 1:11, I long to come to you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. Let me tell you about this anointing. It's impartable. It's impartable. Can I hear an amen? It's transferable. Now let me tell you something. Remember the story in Acts 3? Peter and John got up to the temple. Little crippled old man begging for years. Peter and John say, hey, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as we have give we thee. See, you can't give away what you don't have. You can only give away what you do have. And if you've got anointing, folks, you can give it away. You can transfer. You can impart it. Can I hear an amen? That word impart is metadidomai. It means to share or to give away. It's impartable. Listen, verse 3. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness. The anointing brings joy. Say that with me tonight. The anointing brings joy. We've seen it tonight, haven't we? I feel it tonight. There's joy here tonight. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 35. An everlasting joy. Say it with me. An everlasting joy. Not just when you're feeling good. Not just when everything's going well. Not when the kids are acting nice and your husband's acting nice. No, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're down or up or in or out or things coming against you. Let me tell you, when that anointing begins to rise, the joy of the Lord begins to come. Hallelujah. And everlasting joy is your inheritance. Job says, he will fill my mouth with laughter and my lips with shouts of joy. Job 8. Can I hear an amen? Listen, the anointing brings joy. The anointing lasts. They shall be called oaks of righteousness. The mighty oak. You know what that speaks of? Longevity. Oaks. Oaks don't grow in a year. Oaks take hundreds of years to grow and mature. But the Bible says they shall be oaks of righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. This is not just a passing fad. I hear people all the time saying, that's just a fad. I'll tell you something about the anointing. It lasts. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me 2 years ago. I was sitting in my computer. I told you this last year. I was sitting in my computer, businesses. And I was doing something in the ministry. But and the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I began to weep and weep and weep and weep. Now, I'm a very funny person. So, I mean, if the Holy Spirit had made me laugh at that particular point, I maybe would have thought, ah, it's just myself. But I never wept in my life. I began to weep and weep. In fact, I've wept so much, I've become a water hazard. Oh, I've laughed as well. I mean, I like to laugh, too. In fact, I like to laugh better than I like to weep, to tell you the truth. But, I don't care. Listen, remember the song we're singing? I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. And I don't care whether we laugh or cry or fall or shake or rattle or roll. I want the glory of the Lord. I want that anointing. Okay, very quickly. The anointing lasts. People said about us, I had a couple come to me in my church, and they said to me, well, we're going to leave, we're going to go up to the Presbyterian church until this blows over. Do you believe that, Dasset? You know that? Well, I said, I've got some good news for you. I've got some bad news for you. I said, the good news is it is going to blow over. I said, the bad news is it's going to blow over the Presbyterian church as well. Let me tell you the sad story, though. That's 2 years ago. See, when you resist the Holy Spirit, you put yourself in a dangerous position. You exalt yourself above the throne of God, and you're in a dangerous position. This guy had a big job in the bank. His wife was a nurse in the emergency room, made $35 an hour. She's lost her job. He's lost his job. They've lost everything. You know what happens? They're coming back to church again. But isn't it sad they've had to lose everything because of the resisted the Holy Spirit? Because they said, we'll just go till it blows over. They should have known better. This fellow, his pastor, his father was a pastor for years and years. And don't get me wrong, I'm not gloating. No, no, God bless them. I'm going to restore them in a spirit of meekness. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we can resist the Holy Spirit. Resist not the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'll tell you what the anointing does. Turn to verse 4. Well, okay, don't turn to verse 4. I'll just read it for you. Listen to what happens. Listen to what anointed people do. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. Are you here? We're talking about anointed people just now. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. Listen, I'll tell you what anointed people is going to do. They're going to rebuild. They're going to restore. And they're going to renew. Hallelujah. How many know there's situations in your family that needs to be rebuilt? How many know there's situations in your family needs to be restored? And they need to be renewed. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you who's going to do it. The anointed of the Lord. The anointing of the Lord. I'll tell you something about anointed people. The anointed people are blessed. Look at verse 9. Their descendants will be known among the nations. That word known means famous. When you get a touch of the Holy Ghost, it's going to filter into your family, folks. And your siblings, your family is going to be blessed. They're going to be famous. Listen to what it says. And their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. That's why we need the anointing. How many have got unsaved family members here tonight? That's why we need the anointing. Because I want people to look at my children and say, oh, they're blessed. They're blessed. I want people to noise it around. His kids are blessed. They're anointed. God's blessed them. The anointing. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The anointing is for the poor. The anointing heals. The anointing transfers. The anointing comforts. The anointing sets free. The anointing brings the blessing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Listen, I'm for the anointing tonight. How many is for the anointing? Oh, Ramashapro. Let's all stand and begin to pray tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Randele pro sondile pro socuendo bosile trobosantike betona maya. Ramondo rosotilo boso prona cadine me. Rico nomosondoro botile pro sote boyende cadi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.